Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I am joined once again, our fortnightly guest update from Truth Bomb Tony, also known as Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital. Tony, good to see you. A little bit of a new background there, my friend.
Yeah, it's we're actually getting our bathroom renovated, and I've been a cop for 8 years and a broker for 24, and I actually admire what tradespeople do. Amazing. I just don't have the capacity. So thank God I can work with my brain.
Well, thank God you found a tradie to even do it, because it's crazy out there at the moment. I've heard from friends that can't get jobs done. So maybe it's a different over in the Wild West.
No, we've got building companies going under at the moment. There was a rush to get slabs laid, and now I think we've had about 9 builders go under. So probably the biggest construction housing bubble we've seen, companies are going under. And again, yeah, sometimes you just got to get lucky with it. But put it this way, I've never renovated in my life, and I'd never want to renovate a whole house.
So, Neither would I. I do it. I'm like you. I do admire people that do it. But 9 companies, are they small builders, big companies? And is that because of this supply chain disruption and the increase in the lumber supplies? And what's going on with them going bust?
Well, they can't get tradies. They can't get supplies. And builders get paid after the on certain milestones. If they can't get that milestones, then that's it. I think we had Jackson go under, ProBuild, a couple of smaller housing companies as well. So it's an absolute schmozzle here, and no doubt it's going to be a schmozzle everywhere, but Perth's still got a lot of land within a decent radius from the city. So, yeah, it's a massive cluster at the moment, Kerry.
Does that mean I'm going to have to go to a certain place and buy a certain bottle with an orange label? I think it's called Verve. It's getting close, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's June, end of June, that we make the call, but it was that housing would come back and interest rates would go up. Next week we have the RBA meeting. Do you think something's going to happen?
Well, we've just had 5.1% inflation. Yeah. And the highest quarterly numbers since 1990. And that's when no Australian child was going to be living in poverty. So I actually think I've got to about October to win that Verve. But if the RBA...
Wait that long.
If the RBA was responsible, they'd lift rates next week. They have to do it. We cannot sit here at 0.1. New Zealand's already at 1.5. It's the RBA is going to look embarrassed, but you cannot have that cash rate with low unemployment and expect to leave it there. So, no, I expect interest rates will either go up shortly, if not June, and that is going to absolutely decimate a number of markets. And already I'm seeing cracks in the Sydney market where people are openly discounting their houses. Buyers will step back, and it's really sad, because the RBA said, look, no interest rate increases till 2024. Well, that's come around pretty bloody quick, and families are over leveraged on mortgages. So for every half a point increase on an $800,000 mortgage, that's $4,000 a year. And you know, there's going to be an exodus from private schools, and you know, there'll be a heap of Audi Q5s for sale as well. So this country, unfortunately, is about to go through harsh economic times, coinciding with bloody Putin, Kim Jong. So we've got Russia, North Korea and China. So this is a bloody dangerous time to be alive, to be honest, and that's socially and economically. I think there's just far too many risks.
All right. Well, risk on, risk off, interest rate rises. There is a wobble. There was wobbles since I've spoken to you 2 weeks ago. The markets have wobbled, but they've come back as well. So the volatility index must be incredibly high at the moment. How do our beautiful community out there, how do they navigate through these interesting times?
I stick to the script. From my since I've been learning about small caps and the market, I just plow through it. And I sent an email to clients today. Now, imagine a small company's the campfire. When things are going okay, everyone's holding hands and playing acoustic songs. But when the crowds start to go a bit feral, it's a riot. So we've got all these companies out there doing their best, trying to grow. And shareholders get suspicious, they riot, then they start to spread untruths about people, they start to break ranks. So my theory is there's always a small company that's going to become a bigger one. And if you're going to make multiples on your money, some days you're going to have to get slapped around and feel stupid. And today, the last couple of days, I feel as though I've been in a boxing match. So it drains me. But this is the time where people will get thrown off these stocks because their threshold on the Dow Jones can't handle 900-point drops. So this is probably the biggest test speculators are going to have in quite a while.
Yeah, and you've mentioned it before, Tony. You've spoken about the psychology of investing and then how people can manage that. And that if you invest in a company, like nothing has changed.
No.
The market has a wobble. But that company is still the same. But people being people, they will do what you just said. They'll throw the towel in. And that makes it almost worse, doesn't it?
Well, you've got lots. It's like a community where you've got parasites, you've got bottom feeders, top feeders, and everyone has their own agenda. Markets generally are a collective of people with no friggin' idea what they're doing. So everyone's in the market trying to make money, but you need to be able to buy, invest, and don't listen to all the noise. Don't read a lot of financial forums. Yeah. People read, you know, I had one of my stocks get belted today, Exopharm.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And suddenly the guys, I think he's disappeared, he's full of shit. And they get a query from the ASX saying, well, why is your share price dropping? But in this market, if someone hits the market depth, you get what's called capitulation. And at one point, there was only five or six buy orders on. And I've seen the best companies get poleaxed when the market depth sucks up. So I mean, yeah, and then what happens is people see the share price falling, so they lose confidence. Chartists might get stopped out, and then suddenly someone that woke up in a bad mood or needed money has caused a lot of shareholders suddenly to feel bad. So anyway,
the fundamentals haven't changed. So out of crisis becomes opportunity. So at this as a great bargain time, an opportunity rather than freaking out, dumping everything and running for the hills.
Well, over my career, I've met very few people that can ring me over the last couple of shitty days and say, I need to buy this. And I've actually got one client who I've told him straight up, you are going to be probably the perfect speculative client. And you probably don't realize it yet, but you're doing everything right, but you just have to have the balls. I mean, I was looking at some market depths today. You could have bought Eagle Mountain at 8.6 cents on its way to $1.40.
What?
No, this is before. So,
oh, okay.
I mean, a lot of these market depths will look as attractive as Manly Beach with a brown tinge. I mean, you just don't want to step into that ocean. But I've found that these stocks can transform themselves. You could have Sandfire was down to 5.7 cents. Then they found DeGrussa and went to 10 bucks. So sentiment can change both ways. And what viewers need to realize is that you have to be able to get through all the noise. And at some point, your stock is likely to get cut in half just because the crowd is going nuts. the 30 stocks in the US that run our lives might have a bad day or two. We've got madmen in the world threatening our security. We've got the RBA telling us there'll be no interest rate increases, then they'll probably have to do it next week. And then who the hell are we going to sue? Who the hell can we sue? You know, we'll have a frigging royal commission into the housing industry, and it's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
That's a big call, Tony, that you just said. We'll have a royal commission into the housing industry. That's a mighty big commentary there.
Well, it's full of fugazis. It's full of fakes. It's full of dodgy people that will issue loans, liar loans. I think there's been a lot of publicity recently about liar loans. I think someone was saying, I don't want to get sued for this, but the ANZ has quite a high proportion of liar loans.
What's the liar loan?
That's where people bullshit about their income,
right?
And they lie about their cost of living. And, you know, they put down $20 a week in petrol when it's really 100, or...
But you can't get away with that anymore, because they look at all your, they ask for all your bank statements and they can see everything.
Well, some people are getting away with it. So, you know, as I say to people, if you've got a gambling and smoking habit, pay cash for it. Don't put it on your, you know, because they're going to look at everything. You know, if you've got an addiction to Red Rooster, I mean, pay cash. But anyway, sorry, I've just completely lost my point.
I said that was a big call to say there'd be a royal commission into the housing market. That's what I was saying, because that tells me
there's scams everywhere. You've got scams in every financial industry. You've got scams in crypto. You've got scams in GameStop. A couple of recommendations. I was watching that documentary on hunting for the crypto king. The kid that stole $150 million, and everyone's doing their conspiracy theories. There's just scams everywhere. And, you know, I just think that ASIC have clamped down on finfluencers as well.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? So we're living in a world of bubbles and bargains, I guess you could say, because some people will do very well and others will just ride the bubble until it bursts, and then we'll be like the emperor with no clothes.
Well, to me, it's all about maintaining good habits. You could buy a tip off someone, you make money, then you become addicted to taking tips. That's no good for you. Sometimes, you know, the old dinosaurs such as Buffett and these longer term investors they stay the course. But now we've got Elon Musk, who wants to take over Twitter. I mean, has the world gone completely batshit crazy?
Well, especially when you look at the number, $61 trillion to take over Twitter, the fact that the man can even have those sorts of numbers. I mean, it's monopoly money in a sense, isn't it?
And he says he lives in a $50,000 house. I mean, seriously.
Maybe he does.
But, yeah, no, if you want to see, if you think the world's gone crazy, go see Everything Everywhere All at Once.
What's it called? What was that? Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah. That movie, Jesus. You think the world's...
Is that on Netflix, or is that on at the movie?
No, you've got to go to the cinema.
Oh, I haven't heard of it. Okay, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Right.
Yeah. I won't give too much away, but the moral of the story is nothing really matters. We're all just a speck of time. But the world is, I don't think anyone's seen it this crazy.
In the past, Tony, and I often look at history, and if you go back to the global financial crisis, if you go back to the dot-com, Australia often has been immune to those bumps along the way, and we seem to have... not just bypass it, but we've done okay out of it. Do you think, you know, but this time it's different, or do you think that this time we will be caught up in the turmoil?
Oh, we've caught up now, because we've had the RBA that's trying to manage a speculative housing bubble as opposed to an economy. So we aren't the lucky country. Things aren't that much better here. Sure enough, we've got nice beaches and all of that, but we are super expensive when and we're heavily involved in an asset bubble and we're leveraged to the hilt. And finally, we're going to realize what it's like to be driving a car without reverse for the last 30 years. But the party's over. And sadly, you know, we've been convinced that you have to do this, you have to live this way, you have to have a big backyard, you have to give your kids their own room. And now, sadly, a lot of families are going to get into financial distress. And yeah, it's going to hit the fan. But, you know, we haven't had really bad economic times for about 30 years. So a lot of the new generation wouldn't even know bad economic times where they can just get handed money, get the keys to the SUV, not have to work much. And what I've noticed is that all the hard workers out there, all the jobs that we think we could get as second jobs are gone.
What do you, like what?
Oh, like delivering pizzas or Uber or, you know, I mean, it's hard. I mean, there's not many second jobs around and you can't. Okay. Not everyone can go on OnlyFans and strip, Kerry.
Well, certainly not you and I. Sorry, Tony.
No. Yeah,
that's a whole nother conversation. And
yeah, sorry.
Not for small caps. But look, out of all this doom and gloom, and I understand it, and, you know, one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that I always say is this is not financial advice. You must speak to a financial advisor, do your own research and tread your own path. And yes, the markets will have moments in wobbles. And Tony, you know, you and I have spoken for quite some time about the housing market. We've spoken about the stock market and we've spoken about how people can protect and grow their wealth. Because even when times are crazy, I remember back to the 1990s when we had a recession. I was living in Europe at the time in the UK. And I remember we had Reuters shares and I saw them halve in value. And I thought, quick, let's get rid of them. But if you look over history, if I just held on to them, they did very well in the long term. So let's talk about the opportunities in crazy, chaotic times as we are starting to see. It's not quite here yet, but as we're starting to see. What do you think people should be doing? Where should they be looking? Should they be just doing cash?
Well, the problem I have with that is that if you think, well, there's too much volatility, I need to do cash, you shouldn't be in the stock market, because the stock market, the Dow Jones can fall anywhere. Even if it's 35,000, it can fall. If it's 20,000, it can fall. The ASX 200 can drop from any level. Markets will go on the indices from undervalued to overvalued. So it depends on each person, how much risk they can stomach. Do they see potential to buy a small gold company that might be onto a big discovery? Will they buy a base metals company? Or will they buy a beaten up biotech? Because what's happened now is for those in lithium and those who have accidentally held a gold company that's found lithium, you've done exceptionally well. But people coming in late to the party, same as any market, it's like buying a lithium lease on the moon. So that's pretty much the top once you start talking about buying leases on the moon.
Right. So out of that, where do you think opportunity lies in a inflationary, because you said 5.1% a moment ago. So inflation's here. It's not transitory, ladies and gentlemen. It's here and it's here to stay. So your purchasing power of your cash is going backwards. So the important thing is to look at opportunities to make it work. So how do we make it work in these times?
Well, I always come back to gold and silver.
Yay, my favorite topic, as you know.
Yeah. But you could still buy gold and it could drop another $100, $200 on you. But again, the Australian dollar has dropped as well. So the Australian gold price has been quite healthy. But I think often with gold and silver, you do it to protect your investment, but it's also something that you could dollar cost average as well. And I think there's quite a lot of people that are already precious metals buffs. But if the participation rate in gold, say, goes from 1% to 5%, then it becomes extremely popular and you start to see a rush towards it. But, you know, I can't see people buying one of 13,000 cryptos or subscribing to the Bored Ape Yacht Club are going to come to the ASX anytime soon. So it'll just go back to traditional speculating, Kerry, where you look at a gold company that might go into production, you buy base metals companies that are growing resources. You know, there are some investment grade junior miners out there that I'm buying now for clients, and they stand out and they've been whacked.
Right. I'm going to go into, are you okay if we talk specifics? We've done it before. If we talk specific companies, you're all right with that in a minute?
Yeah. I've got to disclose that I have massive holdings in all these stocks. I'm buying them. You fire away. Okay. I'm happy to, there's no point holding back. If my name's Truth Bomb Tomi, I'm also
Truth Bomb. Exactly. So Truth Bomb Tomi, I'm going to go into specifics in a moment.
Let's do it.
Before I do, Tesla was off 12%. We've got Netflix having some awful earnings, but we've got people like Apple and Amazon, they're coming out with earnings later this week. Do you think that's another, that the money will be moving away from the sort of the tech stocks and more into the commodities as we see the revolution into the new greener economy, that the money will see that's where it's got to flow, and therefore you follow the money. I think tech stocks potentially are in for a bit more of a bloodbath. I'd love your view on tech versus commodity.
I agree with tech. You look at the buy now, pay later. That sector has just bled cash. Unbelievable. I just think that the key to becoming wealthy is to create an unprofitable business. That's the only way by the looks. If you've got no profits, you're losing money. The market loves you. Netflix is, they're saying it's too woke, it's losing subscribers. Yeah, there's a lot of competition and now people are flicking through. So it's no surprise to see Netflix get smashed. And you look at other tech stocks with next to no earnings, of course they're going to get slaughtered. And it's the tech stocks normally that cop it when sentiment turns negative. So yeah, Amazon probably went through some nasty corrections along the way. Apple's got probably losing their edge now. Great competition from Samsung. And kids one day will realise that a cheap Chinese phone will do the same things as an Apple. So mind you, they're probably cheap and made in China as well, some of them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Tony, some really good thoughts there. Let's go into some specifics for our community out here. Mm-hmm. What is Truth Bomb looking at the moment? Why do you like them? And have they been smashed enough or will they go further?
Well, you're never going to get the bottom or get the top.
Yep.
I look at the likes of Staveley Minerals.
Oh, I love Staveley.
Yeah, 30, 39 cents. I think what's happened to Chris is he keeps coming up with good news. And the market's become immune to it, but he's starting to talk about, multi-year production scenario. It's in Victoria, 39 cents. To me, we were there for the discovery. Time to revisit that one. Eagle Mountain Mining.
Sorry, Tony, while you're on that, for those that are interested, we have literally just a few hours ago put an interview up with Chris. It is on the Small Caps YouTube channel where you're watching this. So if you want to have a look at the latest update from Chris Cairns, it's there on the channel. Sorry, Tony.
Yeah, that's okay. We're holding quite a lot of them. Eagle Mountain Mining, Charlie Bass, great copper project in Arizona. We raised him money at 13 cents. It kindly went to $1.35, but it did it within 12 months. Now they're back at 35 cents, and all the company's done is improve their situation. To me, Eagle Mountain Mining is potentially an investment grade junior miner.
Now, Tony, yep. On that note, what drove it up to $1.35-ish, and what has driven it down to 35 cents? Is that pure speculation? The money's going in, they see it top, and then they go, we're bored. Are they bored, and then they move on?
Yeah, a bit of that. I couldn't believe it at 10 bags so quickly. And again, it really threw my clients because they're worried about the capital gains tax discount, and that kind of skewed them around a bit. I just haven't seen anything like it. They had some good results. You get on a bit of a roll, then suddenly sentiment turns negative. But now, I think around these prices, you'd go right in there. And so that's another one. On Friday, the biggest IPO bet of my career lists, Morona Metals. Again, it could come on at a discount. But I will say this thing, Kerry, Far East Gold surprised me. I thought that would have come on a lot weaker, and I think they just went over 40 today. So one of our stocks, Alchemy, tripled on an accidental lithium find. I don't know how high that can go. But again, I back good management on gold and they show up lithium. Oyamon is another quality gold company which has lithium potential. They've actually mentioned Mount Holland. Now, Mount Holland was Kidman. They got taken out by Wesfarmers. Kidman were looking for gold, but they found lithium. So looking at that, my biotech stable's been absolutely slaughtered. So Radiopharm, Paul Hopper, great buying, 22-23. Chimeric is a much stronger company than they were when they listed. They've been cut in half. Adalta, around 7 cents, is another one which I have been buying and looking at for clients.
What's Adalta? Is that what's that? Where are they?
They've got a drug for fibrosis.
Okay.
Which is based. It comes off a shark antibody. But what happened was the drug didn't work on the delivery, so they're looking at delivering it via inhalation. But they have a cancer CAR T therapy project as well. So that's just been grossly undervalued. Exafarm got the reverse speeding ticket today. It hurts. It's a bit of a slap. And my cholesterol company sadly manufacture their drug in Shanghai. That's Narada. So we've got a little bit of a delay there as well.
Wow. Are they only manufacturing in Shanghai? I mean, Shanghai, you know, goodness me, lockdown central, and doesn't look like they're going to come out anytime soon. So what do you do if you're a company like Narada, if they are manufacturing in Shanghai? Do you look to move your manufacturing arm from China to elsewhere? I mean, do you know what they're thinking?
No. He just mentioned that you know, they've been very efficient. And the issue is, if that causes a stock to get sold off, I mean, it's a frigging cholesterol drug. I mean, it's a drug that could actually have some good and some value. I'll just wait for management to try and get through this issue. So again, if people want to sell off delays, then so be it. They're the ones I'm looking at that have all got solid fundamentals. But again, exciting on the gold front, where I've got Pack Gold, which will be drilling a massive project in North Queensland. Mako Gold's cheap today, 8.4. They're up in the mid-9s not that long ago.
Yeah, again, these are companies which I do know because that gold lady, I know these ones. But Pack Gold, they'll be at the conference in June. And that's the Alice River project. Which is more like Alice River District, isn't it? This could be quite a large deposit that he's continuing to uncover up there in North Queensland. You like that one, don't you, a lot? And you followed it from the beginning with Tony Schreck at the helm.
Yeah, that's a great stock. And we've all seen what De Grey did from, you know, 5 or 6 cents. Once you make a humongous gold discovery, the market will value you accordingly. Pack Gold is quite liquid. It's very tightly held, but you're going to have the stock could have a 20 cent trading range per day. And the key is you've just got to hold on. But what I'd like to do with my shareholdings is convert them from CHESS to SRN, wrap them all up in a piece of paper, chuck them in a Milo tin. And on my anniversary with my partner, I sell a bit of it over a few years.
Now, explain to those people that have no clue what you just meant, because not everybody that watches our channel are seasoned investors. So when you go CHESS SRN, they're probably scratching their heads going, what does he mean by that? Put it in simple terms for us.
Okay, well, Australian share ownership is the safest in the world. So it's all CHESS sponsored. So you can convert, you can transfer your stock between brokers if you so wish, and it'll always show up in your account. And what I've found is the biggest barrier to success is having access to your shares. I just think what you need to do is show some discipline and convert them a portion to SRN. So you'll get, just say you get a third of your holding, you get a new sheet of paper, stick that sheet of paper in a coffee can, they call it the coffee can, and sell that on a certain day where you actually have to quote the SRN to sell the stock.
And what Tony means by that is it's taken off the platform. You still own the shares, but they're not as easily traded because you've got to put them back on in order to trade them. Is that correct? Is that
exactly right? And you know, the average human being refreshes their phone 151 times. I mean, Jesus, sometimes it'd be great to buy some quality small cap stocks, have a circuit breaker if something goes 10 times, and come back in 2 or 3 years and find out what you're worth. Because there's just far too much noise. There's far too many people like me sprouting ideas, because everyone's, you know, everyone's got an opinion. But you just have to not watch these. You know, I mean, take up golf, take up something. But anyway, that's my coffee can strategy, which I stole from an author in the US. So,
all right, I'm going to finish up with one. Now, you didn't even know I was going to throw this at you, Tony. Let's start doing a book of the week, because one of the things that you and I have often spoken about is that people need to stop watching television and keep themselves educated. And I know that there's a couple of books that you, because you're a reader and you're always educating yourself as to what people should read to become better investors, better at managing their money, I guess. So I'm throwing this at you. If you say to me, look, I need some time to think about it, that's fine. But do you have a book that you think that, or something that people should be doing, reading, apart from buying, selling shares? How can they continue to grow that brain?
Oh, well, I actually wrote a book on speculation 21 years ago. I only printed 2,000 and I've got one left.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's... you can occasionally show up on eBay or whatever. I managed to find one book, so I've got one left. But I'm also writing a course as well. But I think probably one of the best financial books you can read is 100 Baggers by, I think his name's Chris Mayer.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure it is. Yep.
Okay. That would be my book of the week. It just shows the coffee can approach and shows that some companies in the US to get to 100 bagger status didn't actually take that long. And I think some of the companies, one of them was like Monster Beverages with the drinks. So the book does get a little bit lost in the middle chapters, but that would definitely be a stock, a book on the market for anyone that wants to get heavily involved. So that's 100 Baggers by Chris Mayer. Quite hard to buy, but you'll probably get it on Book Depository.